Okay, James chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10 begins this way, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Amen. The word of the living God for us. I can remember as a kid helping, I guess helping is a loosely used term, helping Dad change the oil in the cars. And this was back before the bottles of oil. You had cans of oil. And you had to take a spout and punch a hole in the thing. I think chocolate milk was that same way, too, wasn't it? Chocolate syrup for your milk. Yeah, don't get them confused, yeah. I'm not very old, but I can remember when motor oil came in cans. And if you wanted to get the oil out of the can and into your engine, you had to attach the spout. You had to have the spout in order to get the oil from the can. And I think there's a great parallel in our passage tonight, and Jesus in the Gospels helps us see this parallel when he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts are full of so many things, and our mouth is the spout from which the things inside our heart come out. And Jesus goes on to say, good people bring good from a treasury of good, and evil people bring evil from a treasury of evil. And so the spout of our heart is our mouth. And as we've studied James, we've noticed that he wants us to be a people of the character of those who truly love God. And one of the ways that we'll put our character on display is by what comes out of our mouth. Much of our character is displayed by what we say. What we say reflects our hearts. And James, so far, in our study of the entire book, has said a lot about the mouth. He says we stumble in what we say. He says we both bless and we curse at the same time. We boast of great things. We quarrel when we do not get what we want. And we fail to use our mouths for prayer. So far, James has been stepping on our toes when it comes to our mouths. And he's going to do it again. He's going to show us once again, our mouths have destructive capabilities. Our mouths, particularly tonight, verses 10, 11, and 12, really 11 and 12, tell us something about slander. Slander is an inappropriate behavior for the Christian. Slander is an act. It's a sin against God. It's against God's law. And it's against God's creation. We're going to see James take a deep dive into the subject, the topic of slander. And I want us to see four things about slander, this poor use of our lips, this sinful use of our tongues from the passage of James. The first thing that I think our passage shows us is slander shows disregard for the other person. Slander shows disregard for the other person. How would you define slander? Well, it's an act of speech. And verse 11 tells us exactly how it's an act of speech against another person. Do not speak evil against one another. Do not speak evil against one another. Literally, in this New Testament language, speaking against or speaking harshly of another person is slander. It is mindless, it is thoughtless, it is careless, it is critical. It is generally derogatory, and sometimes it's true, and sometimes it is untrue. And James, remember, is speaking to the church. He's speaking to Christians. He's addressing the covenant community of God's people and saying slander, speaking against other people, should not be part of our fellowship. And so apparently that's the one of the big issues. There continually is an ongoing slander issue. The part of speech he uses, you're continually speaking against one another, and maybe like a fed up parent, maybe particularly you moms, when you've had the kids all day and you're just done, and you just stop it, quit, right? No more. That's what James seems to be saying here. Well, what does slander do? Well, slander is often a statement of condemnation. It's a very harsh judgment against another person. In fact, the Bible tells us the one who speaks against a brother judges his brother. We'll see that in our next point. But slander is often a statement of condemnation. It lessens the esteem of one person in the eyes of another. It's destructive of another person's dignity, their character, and even their reputation. And it can cause a person to lose income. It can cause a person to lose reputation or their ability to live. Now, notice his use of brothers. He's speaking into the covenant community. It can destroy a church. It can destroy a Christian community. In fact, Paul says to the Galatian church, in Galatians 5:15, he says, "But if you bite and you devour one another, take heed, lest you are not consumed by one another." Slander can consume a body, a fellowship of people, until there's nothing left, no one left. There's a church that I know of it very well, and they're closing soon. And they're closing soon because they had a group of people who went on a Facebook campaign to slander others. And it destroyed that church's credibility. And it has now destroyed that church's ability to even exist as a fellowship. That church, I think, had about a 20-year run in ministry. But it has come to end. And at a day and time when a church, like it was in its heyday, like it was in its good days, a church like that is so desperately needed. But sin, particularly the sin of slander and destructive words, they bit and they devoured one another. When I was a senior in high school, there was a party one weekend, I think, early in the school year, and lots of misconduct goes on at these sorts of things. And later, a girl accused a young fella in our school of rape. This person who was accused was a very well-liked guy, and everybody supposed that this accusation was not true. Well, this young lady's family, in an attempt to save her reputation, she was pregnant, slandered this fella up and down the neighborhood, up and down the community, up through the school, and all around. The slanderous talk spread everywhere. It was the talk of the town, as we say. She came to school for 6 months, very justified in her behavior, her accusations. One weekend, maybe towards Christmas, after 3-4 months of this, the young man disappeared one weekend. No one knew where he was, where he went. Time passed. The rumors continued on. The girl and the family more steadfast in their discussion of his supposed behavior. And you add the disappearance of the accused. Oh, boy, they seem justified. He's guilty. He's gone. Well, he hiked into Linville Gorge, one of his favorite places, and he took his life. And as the winter fall came the next spring, his badly decomposed body was found, and the slander and the ruin of his reputation weighed too heavily on him. It was too much to bear. And guess what? The girl and her family, the truth came out, and they had to leave town. All that for nothing for this poor young guy. Slander shows disregard for the other person. We don't see it when we're doing it. We feel justified in it. But it shows utter disregard for the other person. But it also shows disregard, our passage tells us, for the law of God. James is sort of a black and white guy. He sees the brothers and the sisters in the church slandering one another, and he says, quit it, stop it. It's not good. Shows disregard for the other person. But now he's going to add a little extra weight here. It also shows disregard for the law of God. Verse 11, do not speak evil against one another, brothers, for the one who speaks against his brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. What is James doing here? What is he saying? He's saying that we show disregard for the law when we slander other people. We're essentially saying, I am above the law. The law is wrong at this point or that point. Jesus sums up the law this way. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The sum of the law includes the ninth commandment. Do not bear false witness against others. And so when we bear false witness against others, we're saying, I'm above the law. I can disregard the law. God here, regarding this particular person or the things I feel I need to say about them, God is not wise. I am wiser, and I'll take care of what needs to be done here. And so we speak against another person, but we speak, James says, against the law. One of the things we have to remember is not even Jesus was above the law. He submitted himself to the law. Or I think of the example of the Apostle Paul when he was under one of his trials and one of the high priests. There was a little tussle between him and the high priest. And Paul, though he was in the right, was careful not to speak against the law or the interpreters of the law. Well, let's be practical for a moment. We've said from James that to slander a person is to disregard the person, but it's also to disregard God's law. And there's some other practical things that we should think about when we hear slander. What do we do when we hear it? Usually we jump in. Oh, yeah, this is juicy, and I want in on it. I mean, that's really how we are, isn't it, if you want to be honest. We want in on a piece of the discussion, but do we remain honorable with our own tongues? Do we ever stop others and say, you know, that's slander, that's not promoting the peace and the purity and the prosperity of the congregation? This is a brother or sister in Christ you're speaking of. Let's be careful with our words. No, we love the juicy stuff, right? We get involved on Facebook and we jump in. We pile on, as they say. So what do we do when we hear slander? Or what do we do if we ourselves have been slandered? I've always been encouraged. Don't defend yourself. Let time pass and truth will be revealed. God will judge. God will avenge. And after all, Jesus says this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. So do not be overcome by evil. That's usually how we get. We're overcome by evil. And so we go on a campaign to defend ourselves. But overcome evil with good. So slander is never justifiable. It could be truth, but it's never justifiable. And if you think you're ever justified in slander, think about what we've seen so far. It disregards the person. It disregards God's law. But there's a third and even weightier thing. It disregards the lawgiver, who is none other than God himself. Verse 12 says there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And I think what we see James doing here is probing in our heart. Slander is an offense against another person. It's a judgment by you of the law. Now it's a judgment by you of the lawgiver. That's God himself. He's ramping it up. He's piling on you. And he's saying God Almighty must have supremacy. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The book of Proverbs says that God hates lots of things. And there's even in one place a list of God hates six things. No, it's seven. And the seventh thing is a lying tongue, a slandering tongue. I think tonight as we read Proverbs 10, I counted at least four Proverbs of those little couplets that spoke specifically of slander. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've already been an enemy of God. Don't speak evil against his people. don't take up judging the law, and definitely don't take up judging the lawgiver, God Himself. Through the blood of Christ, we've been brought near. Through the redeeming work of Jesus, we've been reconciled and said, don't make yourself an enemy of Him again by taking up against His law and even against the lawgiver. So God is God. We understand that. God is the lawgiver. God is supreme. And guess what? We are not. And so we can sometimes play God and do a very bad job of it and feel fully justified. But it is God and God alone who has the power to save and destroy. So slander shows disregard for the person. It shows disregard for the law of God. It shows disregard for the lawgiver, who is God. But it also shows disregard for God's call to humility. Remember verse 10. We squeezed it in here tonight. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will exalt you. But it brings up a question. Is it ever appropriate to make judgments? Judgments of other human beings. You know, we hear people say, oh, the Bible says judge not, judge not, judge not. Don't judge me, judge not. But there are places and times where we are to judge others. We're to make judgments of whether we believe a person who, hey, we read it tonight in the Belgic Confession on church officers. We should make a judgment of whether a minister, an elder, or a deacon is fit for office. You know, how's their family? What do they know? Do they have the Spirit of God? Should they be serving us in the church? That's an appropriate time to make a judgment. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, if anyone in the church is caught in a sin, there's a judgment call. Those of us who are mature in the faith should rescue them and gently restore them. That's an appropriate time for judgment. Or we see someone's life out of accord with the Scripture. Maybe we go to them quietly and respectfully and say, hey, the Scripture says this, your life reflects that. What gives? But here, slander or making judgments and destroying others with our tongue is not rescuing, it's not redeeming, and it is not redemptive. And so we ought to take great care. Maybe you say to yourself, I don't slander. Not me. Never, ever. Would never speak evil of other people. Here's some examples. Mom and dad. Does one of the parents ever speak evil of the other parent to the children? I'll get little Johnny and Susie on my side. And so I'll run down mom or I'll run down dad so they'll like me. I'll be the good parent. They'll be the bad parent. Not a good thing to do. Or we remind others of their shortcomings in public. Oh, you're so bad at this. You're so terrible at that. Remember when you failed in this way? Not a good thing to do. Or we draw a conclusion about someone based on weak facts. And we tell others our findings as if it's true. We can do that. Or, this is the best one, I perceive, therefore it is true. Right? That's the greatest one in our culture today. I perceive, therefore it must be true. And so we go on to tell about others the things that we perceive that therefore must be true. Or maybe we make an accusation. We make an accusation. We announce it all before it's proven in the right setting. Guilty until proven innocent. Well, there's never a chance to prove innocent. Or we shut the door. This is how it happens at church. We shut the door. Well, there's two ways it happens at church. I'll tell you the other one in a second. We shut the door. We whisper. You know, that still, small, hushed voice. You know, it sounds more godly. We need confidence here. We need confidence here. Only to walk two doors down, shut the door, and still small voice, hushed voice. I need to tell you something in confidence. The best, though, is at prayer time. You know, I have a prayer request. You know, so-and-so is a bozo, and they need prayer because they're a bozo. And so we slander through the prayer time. Well, a good reminder of Jesus' words is necessary. Whoever causes one of the little ones to stumble, who believes in me, be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck, drowned in the depths of the sea. We need to be careful how we speak who we speak to and how we spread things about others. It's hard to pick up the pieces and correct slander. I think our biggest mistake we make, and this may be another area where we fall short and don't realize it, we tell everybody else what's wrong with somebody except the person we have a problem with. And doesn't Matthew 18 give us a way? If somebody's done something against you, go to them, tell them. Perhaps Jesus gives them repentance and they are restored to you. And if that doesn't work, take another brother, take a sister. If that doesn't work, tell the church. You might be saying to yourself, though, I always tell the truth about others. No, you don't. You don't. Did you ever think that telling the truth about others is damaging? We love giving news out, don't we? We love announcing things. And have you ever thought that sometimes the things you say might actually be damaging to another person's reputation? I think about the whole COVID thing these last couple of years. We probably shouldn't be announcing, you know, so-and-so's got COVID, because they're never really welcome back in the fellowship. Oh, did they come too soon? Right? You know, we got to get our skull and crossbones. You know, we spill stuff about people so quickly. And I think most of it is not out of care and concern. It's just, I got something to tell. And at least for a moment, I've got an audience. And so others need to hear what I have to say, even if it's at the expense of others. This is a rather serious thing I think we ought to think about. Every one of us is a follower of Jesus. We are living by God's grace through the forgiveness of sins. And each of us are sinful. Each of us are weak. Each of us are finite. Each of us are growing in grace and in the process of redemption. And sometimes our sanctification or lack thereof is rather public. And so our living before the body of Christ is rather public, but not everything is for general consumption. And so we ought to be careful to give people room, especially in the body of Jesus, to not have all their dirty laundry aired. Now, the elders meet every month. We look at our list of people in the congregation. We talk about them and we pray for them, but it stays in that room. That's why you elect to the office of elder or the office of minister or deacon those who have tight lips. They have the ability to know things and not broadcast it around. There are things that come across our desk that will never come out in the congregation. Yes, God needs to hear about it. God needs to know about it through our prayers, but it's not for general consumption. But we point out others' faults at times. And yes, it could be true, but it's very damaging. Christian love covers a multitude of sins. And sometimes there are things that just ought not be brought up. They may be true. They may need to be dealt with. But that's for a private place and a private time. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. We should live in deep and utter humility, but we're so quick to slander. We're so quick to speak what's on our minds, what's in our hearts. And even as evil as we know it is, sometimes it's just too juicy. And we don't realize what utter humility we have before God. You know, one of the greatest things I think about our future in heaven that scares most people is that every one of our deeds is written in a book. And Jesus says, I'm going to open the book and I'm going to read it. That scares people. Thankfully, it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's an interesting thought. Usually, it's the godly. It's the humble who are slandered. It's those who are seeking to walk with God and serve others. We're all in need of God's rich mercy. We've all slandered his good name by calling him your Lord, but have disobeyed his word, his law. But Jesus has set a very good example for us. And that example comes to us from Paul in the form of a command in the book of Philippians. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross for us. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. He did so with Christ and he will with you. Whether you have been reckless with your tongue or someone else has been reckless with their tongue against you, we run to Christ. We run to the cross and run to his humility. And our Lord will bless us and care for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Pray with me. Lord, we are very mindful that our tongues are fires set by the fires of hell. We use our tongues to destroy when we ought to use them to redeem and to bless. And your scripture tells us that there is no perfect man who can restrain his tongue. But we thank you that we have your grace and your power, and you can help us keep our tongues from evil for the sake of others and through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.